Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. If you are just joining us, welcome to Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show for Tuesday, April the 21st, Canada's morning sports talk show. I understand that it's not morning anymore for you up there in Eastern Canada, so I'll just say top of the day to you and to Canadian sports fans around the world. We've heard from a couple different countries today. Resetting, if you missed off the top, our quick six show topics today. Number one, Brendan Shanahan, the Leafs boss, telling TSN Radio yesterday, he's very optimistic the NHL will finish its season. The NHL is a lot more flexible than people think. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good.
It does.
And I'm going with Shanny. Point two, Max Pacioretty of the Vegas Golden Knights saying on the weekend in an interview on the Golden Knights website that this is going to be the hardest Stanley Cup to win of all time. Yay or nay? We debated that in the rollout. I'm not going to debate it now. It was a good chat, though. He's probably right. Mm-hmm. He'd know better than us. Point three, Anthony LeBlanc jumping ship from the Schooners to the Senators. We covered that at length. It's what it looks like. He got out when the getting was good. That's what it looks like. Prove me wrong. What does Tiger King say? Joe Exotic? Change my mind.
Yeah.
Point four, the website The Grueling Truth came out with its list of the top 10 Grey Cups of all time. No surprise. Number one was 1989. Number five, are you getting tired of lists? Because I kind of am.
I am too.
I'm getting tired of you.
Yeah.
Damn lists. Other than your list of top seven Tiger King episodes. Point six.
Still haven't watched the eighth one.
Don't. No, I'm going to save you some time.
Yeah.
Go back and watch The Last Dance again.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that, though, about The Last Dance. I'm watching that last night with my wife. Basketball is her number one sport. Well, okay. Maybe golf. Golf and basketball.
You guys are a bit of a basketball family.
Yeah. Well, all the girls play basketball. It reminded me of in that time with the Bulls, and I'm sorry, it didn't seem like that long ago.
Right.
It just didn't. But I guess you were born in 87, so you were running around. You didn't have hair on your peaches at the time.
Right.
It was a simpler time because it was really pre-internet. It was damn sure pre-Twitter and Facebook. So you didn't have everybody ripping and bitching. You could just watch sports and talk with your buddies. Like, I am no NBA expert. But I watched all the NBA playoffs. Even back then, I felt sorry for the Portland Trailblazers because they were great. They just couldn't beat the Bulls. In The Last Dance, they never talked about the opponent. It was all about the Bulls, which is fine. But the team they were beating every year was Portland.
Yeah.
And they were really good. But you didn't need to go on the air and analyze it every day and talk like you're an expert. You could just watch sports and enjoy it. And that's not what the world is now, in my opinion. Am I right?
You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's not the same. And I think there's going to be a market for that, but we got to get through this first. You know, I hope it swings back. I think there'll be a market for just the sheer passion of watching sports and just opening up yourselves to the ebbs and flows and the wins and losses and not breaking down every stat or needing to pick out every nuance of the game just to come up with a reason why this guy sucks and that guy's better. And, you know, you can just enjoy the game. He was better. He had more points. Simple.
That's what I'm saying. Right? That was that era.
But there will be a market for that eventually. I think we'll come back to that. But yeah, it was such a beautiful era. And I remember following this a little bit in the documentary MJ to the Max, Jordan to the Max. That was my favorite one. I had it on a DVD. And this just kind of is that times about 1,000. This is so good. The
really?
Last Dance. Yeah, it's good. I enjoy it a lot.
I'd have to watch that.
Yeah, MJ to the Max is good. No, The Last Dance is Jordan to the Max times 100 or whatever.
Oh, it's way better.
It's just because there's more of it. I mean, I looked ahead. There's 10 episodes. Every week there's two more episodes coming out.
I see that I have piqued the interest of our viewers all writing in hair on your peaches. John in Vancouver says, is that a prairie saying?
We don't have peaches.
From Jason.
Prairies.
RPism number 307.
didn't have hair on your peaches. It's from the movie Talladega Nights. Ricky Bobby's dad. Come on, boy. You got hair on your peaches or not? Remember when you had the tiger sitting in the front of the car? And, get in there.
And we, now you jog my memory. Watching that and Ricky Bobby to go in there and drive this car with a tiger right beside him is like the scariest thing of all time. We watch Tiger King and they just do that on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, it's
they're
nothing.
Going for coffee. Like, no big deal.
That's breakfast.
Yeah, just drive with a tiger.
Again, if you didn't see the movie, Ricky Bobby's dad is trying to teach him to be a man. A race car driver. So he had a tiger in the front seat of the car. The original Tiger King, Clark says. And he said, get in there and drive the car with that tiger sitting there. Come on, boy! You got hair on your peaches or not? You guys don't remember? None of my stuff's original. It's just recycled. People think it's mine. Do we have Sean Bell yet?
Yes.
Okay. Sean Bell probably wouldn't remember. Well, he might. He played four games with the Regina Pats. Oh, he would remember that. I was the radio guy for the Pats at the time. Pats dealt him to the Tri-City Americans, where he would spend five seasons. First round pick of the St. Louis Blues, 30th overall in 2003. Went on to play in the National Hockey League with the Minnesota Wild, Montreal Canadiens, Edmonton Oilers, Colorado Avalanche. Tours of duties around the minors. And he joins us today. I'm very much looking forward to this chat. Sean, how are you doing today, by the way?
I'm doing good. I do remember you. I remember back in White City when things were, when I had my first camp.
Oh, good. Well, I interviewed you a couple times. I thank you for that, Sean. It was quite a story, though, by the way. I mean, that was, you were the big prospect in that when the Pats were loading up and dealt you to the Tri-City Americans. And we'll get to the pro hockey stories in a moment. But what do you remember about that time as a young kid from Edmonton that probably wasn't aware of how big of a deal you were in the middle of in those trades at the deadline?
Honestly, when I first got drafted, I didn't even really know much about the Bantam draft at all. When my name got called, I think it was, I can't remember the general manager, Mr. Parker. He called me and he's like, hey, welcome to the Regina Pats. And they were super excited to have me. I was kind of just stunned and taken back by it because I didn't really know much about it, like I said. But that first camp in White City, like I mentioned, was very interesting. It was eye-opening, nerve-wracking at the same time. But I felt that a lot of the veteran players, took to me right away. And I remember specifically that, Paul Brown, one of my first face-offs, one kid came up to me, kind of pushed me. I pushed him back. Brownie moved me aside and said, hey, I got this kid. And, they ended up fighting. And it was a pretty cool moment. And, the guys adhered themselves to me, or at least I adhered myself to them. And they had my back.
Brownie, if there ever was a Ricky Bobby clone, that would be Paul Brown. But I got to say something, Sean, that you were kind of ahead of your time. And I think the viewers would get a lot out of this, the hockey fans. Like, was your dad your agent, or did you have an agent at the time? What do you remember about that area or era of your life?
I did have an agent. His name was Mark Hall. After my first year pro, we ended up splitting ways. But, I did have a guy right out of the gates. My dad was pretty big into my hockey career. He did a lot of my training early on. And then I kind of ended up going with a guy named by the name of Simon Bennett, who actually is the strength and conditioning coach for the Oilers now.
Well, the reason I bring that up, and Darren, you'll find this interesting, and I think I told this story the other day. I was standing in Brent Parker's office, and it was fax back then, and your agent sent the Pats kind of a list of not demands, but things that you would need before you would set foot on the ice in the Western League, and Brent signed it, sent it back, and then traded you to Tri-City.
I wonder what kind of demands were on there then.
You know what? But the point was, it wasn't anything crazy. It was for off ice conditioning things and nutritional things.
Yeah,
it was all hockey related.
Schooling.
Yeah, schooling stuff, all of that. But Brent's like, I'll sign this, and we're shipping you to Tri-City
for
the deal. Yeah, exactly. Which I thought was kind of cool. So your pro hockey career, tell me about that. You had a lot of stops. What were the most memorable ones?
Yeah, there was a lot of stops. You know, I think, you know, thinking back about my hockey career now, you look like the first trade was even before I even stepped foot professionally. I was gone from St. Louis to Dallas, and I think that kind of put me behind the eight ball. And honestly, I now that I'm coaching, I look back on it and I think about how many times you have a different coach in your career really has an effect on you. You know, I went from Rob Dom, one of my first year pros, to Kevin Constantine, who decided he wanted to completely change my game. And as you probably know, I was pretty offensive defenseman. You know, my biggest attribute was my speed and my skating. And I tried to use that. And then with Rob Dom, he tried to nurture that as much as possible. And then when I got to Constantine, he kind of said, you know, this is a quote, is, do you think you're Nick Lidstrom? And I said, no, but I'm going to try to make plays. And he said, no, it's off the glass and out every single time. So, you know, thinking back on the hockey career, obviously it's not where I wanted it to go, but, you know, I had a lot of interesting stops and some good coaches and some good mentors along the way.
You know, the skating I remember, but the puck handling too. I mean, this guy is smooth. Not enough O's in smooth to describe Sean Bell's game. And it's unfortunate that they were trying to turn you into a defensive defenseman. But, you know, you bring up the coaching, Sean, and you remember back with the Mike Babcock stuff and all that era, the Me Too movement of coaching, as I called it in the fall, which seems like a decade ago, by the way.
Yeah.
But it just seems so unfair to the good coaches. You know what I mean?
It was such a different time, though. Like, yeah. You know, I can completely understand, you know, some of the scenarios that, yeah, maybe some of it shouldn't have happened, but, you know, it was a different time. Like, if you got kicked, it was, you need to go fight someone. Think about now how many times a coach would tap you on the shoulder and say, Kate, you're going to go grab that guy and you're going to go fight him. If you tried to do that now, it's kind of like frowned upon. It was a completely different time. So you know, you like, for example, Bill Peters to have not said what he said, 100%. But there was a lot of things that you could get away with then as opposed to what you can now.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and so speaking of that, you said you're coaching now. What's give me your life update. It's only been 20 years since the last time we talked.
Yeah. So I'm coaching at OHA, so Okanagan Hockey Academy. They have a branch in Edmonton. I'm coaching the under 16 team. So it's just a strictly 15-year-old league. I just started that. This is my first year. Prior to that, I was at Nate for 3 years. And then prior to that, I was with the Sherwood Park Crusaders for one as an assistant coach. That was my first year coaching after playing. And then I also opened up my own strength and conditioning program. It's called Lead Sports. I've been running that for about 4 years now, and we've got about 40, 50 kids, so things have been good, and I've been extremely busy.
What is, obviously, you're immersed in the hockey world. What is the buzz up there about coming back this season? What do you, we don't know, so I know I'm not going to pin you down for an answer, but what do you think might happen? What are you hearing?
Well, I'm hoping personally in June, selfish reasons, obviously, with my gym opening up, but I'm hoping June. I'm kind of hearing a little bit of that. We just kind of got off a phone call with our OHA group, and they were starting to work on a return to play program, or at least get back to practices and whatnot. So that's kind of my feeling right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if it pushed into July.
Sean, by the way, one of our viewers, I was going to let you go, but one of our viewers wrote in, and Clark and I were talking about this the other day. Gord says, what was your experience, Sean, with the 2005 World Junior team, one of the best ever assembled? If I may, the best ever assembled. Sidney Crosby, Phaneuf, Getzlaff, playing in Grand Forks, and you were on that club. What was that like?
Oh, that was an unbelievable experience. You know, every guy that we had basically just set out right from the first drop of the puck at camp that we were not losing, and the guys came together very quickly. One thing that, you know, I don't know if a lot of people know is that that entire group had basically grown together through all the under 16s, 17s, 18s, and then obviously with the culmination of the under 20 championships, But, you know, we had been to so much, or at least played against each other so much, that we had a pretty strong bond. And then obviously when you add in Crosby, who is a phenom, you know, just kind of just put us over the top. And what an unbelievable experience. I still think about it to this day. And, you know, it's been on air for the last couple of days. So it's nice to kind of relive that. But that was a special team and a special group.
No kidding. Well, you too, man. We haven't forgot about you. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for the time. And don't be a stranger, and stay safe up there.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Sean Bell joining us, former Regina Pat, Tri-City American, NHLer. There's a fellow with some stories.
Oh, yeah. And we only scratched the surface.
Just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because Clark lined up the interview, and I think it was like late last week. He said, we got Sean Bell coming on, and he's like, hear me out. I'm like, you don't need to explain it. I know how big a deal Sean Bell is. I'm not sure if everybody knows, but I do.
Yeah. And I think you've opened a lot of people's eyes to, who, you know, a little bit more of what he has to offer. But you remember the 05 team, and I mean, that 05 team was just unbelievable, and he was a key piece of that on the back end. And then
he fit right in.
Yeah. And then hearing the stories about coaches trying to change his game, that's part of that transition. That's the old school and the new school, right? Where the old school coaches would be like, no, we do things my way. I don't care what kind of player you are, right? We do things, you know, our way, and that works. But it also works now a little bit where the players kind of are allowed to have a little bit more of that individual.
I don't know enough about it to say, frankly, how they did it then versus now. It's just not my thing. It's just sad that you've got a guy like that so gifted, and you're trying to make Secretariat a Clydesdale.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? It happened more than you would know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mark Atherton, watching in New Brunswick, says that interview could have and should have been longer. Well, we have a thing called commercial breaks, Mark. I guess we didn't get to the meat of it until the end, and I apologize for that. Well, hey, Mark says, I wanted to hear more. Well, Seinfeld, always leave him wanting more, right?
That's
better to go off the air than go on too long. One of our viewers said to me the Eddie Steele rant last week was too long. They were right. What am I supposed to do? Reach to the screen with a hook? But the one thing I do want to say about that Sean Bell trade thing, another way that the business has changed. I used to be in the general managers and coaches' offices all the time. I saw all these things. I'll never forget that fax coming across. Look at this. Single space, two pages. It was hilarious.
That's awesome.
And it was the same thing with the Riders, too. I saw it all. And now the world just doesn't roll that way. The sports world does not roll that way. There's walls up everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Everything's full of secrecy.
It's not just the teams that I was with. Every team's like that. It's the secrecy. And when we come back in Sports World 2.0, are we going to go back to what it was? Or is it going to get worse? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out.
But it was a hell of a lot of fun when I was in it. But I also know that it's not that way anymore. We'll be back. Mark Gregg on the way, too. More stories. It is episode 217 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show, and we'll be right back. Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, coming to Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Nat, what are the top 5 reasons people come to Suds?
Number 5, our advanced technology protects your finish and keeps your car clean longer. Number 4, we knock off the snow and ice and towel dry to prevent freeze-up. Number 3, our famous Suds Ultimate thoroughly cleans your car's interior. Number 2, you never need an appointment and you get a showroom shine. And the number 1 reason, we treat our customers like family.
Treat yourself and your car to a Suds full-service car wash.
Hey, you! Have you subscribed to the Rod Peterson Show YouTube channel yet? Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now!
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Just shooting some texts around. Some folks that want to get on the show. Let's do it!
All right.
Sports update for Wendell Clark's and big-time game shows. A pair of fans in New York sued Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. That's two different things. They sued Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred and the 30 teams, asking for their money back for tickets and for certification of class action status. The lawsuit was filed Monday in U.S. District Court in Los Angeles by Matthew Ajenman, who said he bought a partial season plan for more than 20 Mets games, and also Susan Terry Baser, double last name, who said she purchased 6 tickets for a May 9th game at Yankee Stadium against Boston. Ticketmaster, StubHub, Live Nation, and Last Minute Transactions are among the defendants. The caption on the first page included Tampa Bay Devil Rays Limited. Devil was dropped from the team's nickname after the 07 season, so basically they don't know what they're doing. Major League Baseball players are upset over the prospect teams may seek additional pay cuts if games are played in empty ballparks due to the coronavirus outbreak. Their anger was stoked last week when New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said he was told by Mets COO Jeff Wilpon that the union would have to agree to lower salaries if games are played without fans. And UFC welterweight Lyman Cyborg Good has tested positive for COVID-19. Good, a former Bellator champion, pulled out in early April of a planned bout against Belal Muhammad at UFC 249. Turns out it was because of coronavirus. He said it was because of injuries. The April 18th card was postponed anyways, though, because of the pandemic. And that is your sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. They feature free citywide delivery and curbside pickup. See their Facebook page for their takeout menu. It's Taco Tuesday today, y'all. And for big-time game shows, check out their Facebook page for details on the next live broadcast of North America's fastest-growing game show featuring magician Richie Roy. Search big-time game shows on Facebook. It's fantastic. What's on your mind?
I was just reminded that Tampa Bay's baseball team used to be called the Devil Rays.
Right.
That was just a smack back to like 10 years ago. I totally forgot. Now they're just the Rays. And then I was looking up the 05 World Junior team because we were talking about that last segment. Patrice Bergeron, Jeff Carter, Jeremy Colleton, Sidney Crosby, Nigel Dawes, Stephen Dixon, Colin Fraser, Ryan Getzlaff, Andrew Ladd, Clark MacArthur, Corey Perry, Mike Richards, Anthony Stewart. The forwards. Defense was Cam Barker, Sean Bell, Braden Coburn, Dion Phaneuf, Brent Seabrook, Danny Sivret, Shea Weber, and Jeff Glass was the starting goaltender with Rajan Boschman. The goalies were the only thing that weren't really star-studded, but Glass was really good in junior. So
yeah,
and Brent Sutter was the coach,
and they won it all, right?
Oh, they yeah.
I mentioned the notes that I wanted to get to here before we bring on Mark Gregg. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are proud to launch a T-shirt design voting campaign with the winning design to be sold in the Bombers store. All net proceeds from T-shirt sales will be donated to Winnipeg Harvest. Winnipeg Harvest CEO Karen Taylor Hughes said, "The sale of these T-shirts will help fund 1,000 emergency food hampers a month for hangry, Well, they probably are hangry. Hungry Manitobans who need it the most. Fans can vote on Facebook or Twitter for their direct design starting today until Friday. Once the winning design has been chosen, the t-shirt will be available for purchase online at thebomberstore.com. Bomber President and CEO Wade Miller said, in a time where our community needs our help more than ever, we know that Bomber fans will embrace the task of choosing a design and purchasing a t-shirt to support Winnipeg Harvest. So that's pretty cool. Any purchase made on thebomberstore.com with a delivery address within Winnipeg will receive their order via free contactless delivery. So the Bombers jumping in to raise money for hungry Manitobans. They said it better than I did. What did I say? The needy? I don't think that's acceptable anymore. Disadvantaged. Whatever you want to say. There's people that are struggling and the Bombers are doing their part to raise money.
Yeah, which I like that a lot. That's very cool. Good for Winnipeg, and I'm sure it'll go over really well.
Checking in from Doyle A. Benson, manager of Wendell's, says, hi, everyone, from Wendell's. I bet you he's pretty happy to be in at work because they opened their kitchen. They pivoted very fast in this, right? They were closed for a week at the most and then said, okay, let's get going. Let's start cooking meals and let's ship it.
Yeah.
So, because Doyle doesn't do well with being cooped up. A lot of people don't. You're the extrovert of all extroverts. I was saying to my wife, I got to be honest with you. I'm loving this. I'm loving it. I'm watching TV all day. I'm eating pizza and Oreos. I'm living like I'm 10.
Life is good.
I'm not putting on any weight. I stepped on the scale today. It's the same. Not up, not down.
Stage of yawn in the tour.
I think I don't have any stress.
Yeah.
My stress is way down low.
Yeah. It's the tour de rod that you had on your
you
Instagram
saw that,
story
eh?
This morning.
What's better than getting up in the morning, jumping on the bike and watching ESPN get up and having a coffee and riding the bike? It's awesome.
Yeah. But you do it and then you can eat what you want.
That's what my point was earlier about how when we get back to whatever normal, because it's not going to go back to the way that it was, how much of your life is going to be what it was before and how much of it is going to be the new life? Kevin Gallant's watching in Vancouver and says, yikes. What do you mean, yikes? That I'm living on pizza and Oreo cookies and Diet Coke?
Well, 21 days to create a habit, right?
90 days
90
for a lifestyle.
90 days to create for a lifestyle. So we're not 90 days yet, but if we hit 90 days of this, you've created a new lifestyle, and it'll take at least 90 days to go back, or you'll stay in this new lifestyle. So if you've got routine and there's something you want to change in your life, do it. Do it now.
Well, really, the only reason that I would go back to the gym is because Evolution Fitness has been so great to me over the years, for years. There's Kevin. Yes, that's why, because I'm eating like I'm 10 years old. But it's not affecting me. I'm fine. I'm working out in the morning. I don't have any stress.
But
I've been through my crises. I'm not sitting here, you know, all high and mighty. I've had my hard time. It's over.
You have loyalty and you have this sense of wanting to support people who support you. You've always been that way. So I can see you going back to the gym, but loyalty is a thing that's really tough now. It doesn't exist a whole lot anymore, especially in business. You know, the regular, you know, when you go to your place and your place only, we want to always try different things and support different people and go to different places. And convenience and what you enjoy. You're really enjoying the bike at home. That's part of your routine. If we go 21 days, it'll be a habit. In 90 days, it'll be a lifestyle. And that will be what you do. So you'll go to the gym only to support them, but you'll be doing your workout at home because you love that. How much of that is going to, you know, affect other people too, right?
That was my whole point. Yeah. How much of what you're doing now sticks and how much do you go back? Because I don't have a steam at my house, so that's why I'll go to the gym. And by the way, I'm interested with Kevin watching. Kevin is the voice of the Pats from 1980 to 1988, went on to the CFL, the IHL, all over the place. Kevin was my mentor, really. Actually, when they had that thing going around to name your favorite WHL player, one of the several lists that have been going around, I wanted to say Kevin Gallant was my favorite all-time Pat. I put down Jordan Eberle, but it would not have been a stretch to say him. But Kevin, we were saying earlier, one of our show topics was Brendan Shanahan's very optimistic. The NHL will not only conclude its season, but it'll conclude the regular season and then playoffs. Wayne Gretzky said the same thing on the weekend. I just don't think that they're talking out their back ends,
yeah,
as you said. And why now? And I don't think Brendan Shanahan is going on his own. He had to have some sort of direction from whether it was the MLSC chairman or Commissioner Gary Bettman. By the way, just ahead of Mark Gregg, because he's ready, Kevin Sampson writes in and he says, love the show. Miss you as voice of the Riders, but love your show now. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. This is a lot of fun. Mark Gregg, for those that don't know, from High River, Alberta, played in the Western League with the Calgary Wranglers, Lethbridge Hurricanes, into the NHL with Hartford, Toronto Maple Leafs, Calgary Flames, Philadelphia Flyers for a long time. And now is a scout with the Flyers, and his son Ridley was our featured prospect last week for Sasnobie. And there he is today. Mark, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Where are you checking in from? Are you in Calgary, or where are you joining us from today?
Lethbridge.
You're in Lethbridge, okay. Once a Hurricane, always a Hurricane. How's life in Lethbridge, by the way, amid the pandemic? That's one town we have not been to yet to say what is life like out there. Give us an update if you don't mind, Mark.
The city's doing pretty well. It really hasn't impacted too heavily here. I think a lot of the people are doing a great job in isolating and being diligent in their approach with things. But really, it's been quiet in that regard. And so far, so good.
What's it like for the hockey community, by the way? Because I talk to Rich Sutter at least once every 2 weeks, almost every week. You guys been getting together and go down walks down country roads and talk hockey? Or what's the hockey community doing in Lethbridge?
Well, yes, you got to get outdoors. The weather's finally turned for the better here. I see kids out now. The street hockey's starting to surface, and we do have some areas around here that are nice for walks. So getting outdoors is a good thing. The walls can kind of close in over periods of time when you're indoors all the time.
Do you have any feeling, Mark? I mean, we mentioned that you're working with the Flyers about the season coming back. You might have heard what I said about Brendan Shanahan. He says very optimistic. Are you hearing anything in your corner of the world about the resumption of the NHL season or conclusion of it?
I don't. I've spoke with upper management almost every other day. There's not really a whole lot of insight, or I know they do have contingency plans in place, but I can't tell you that I have any more intel than anybody else. I too am optimistic, but I'm probably more hopeful than anything.
Yeah, I get it. Like all of us. Now, we mentioned your son Ridley being our Sasnobie top prospect last week. Can you speak on behalf of the junior players? What's he saying with his season being ended? And, you know, Brandon would look like they were gearing up here. Your thoughts on the Western League and how that was full out canceled?
Well, I found it quite shocking initially when the start of the pandemic started. Not only my son playing in the league, but living here in Lethbridge, I'm close with Pete Anholt and watch a lot of the Hurricanes play, so I'm connected a little bit. The initial, I think, thought from the kids was that this would be a short-term delay. Playoff mindsets were still in order, and then it got really real, and there was a lot of disappointment, frustration for the kids. I mean, at that age, that's really all you want to do is play and get on the ice. So it's been a bit of a challenge for, I think, a lot of young junior players to sit back and let this unfold and not have the opportunity to play, especially for older kids that are rounding out their careers, young kids that are looking into their draft year. I think it's been a challenging time.
Mark, it's Darren DuPont. That's where I wanted to go, was the draft. And I'm glad you kind of transitioned into that, because how does this affect the draft? And I know Ridley's right in the thick of it. Not having a stretch run, not having a playoffs, not having a championship or Memorial Cup to showcase some of these things that maybe go a long way when it comes to, you know, the scouting side of it.
Well, it has impacted it for sure. I mean, we have a long body of work for a player in his draft year that starts way back in September, even August, if they're playing internationally in the Hlinka tournament. And the playoff type scenario is a pretty important piece that you like to be there to evaluate. And of course, you know, for those that carry on to the Memorial Cup, a big stage where sometimes you can get some final thoughts at a high level and at a high competition. So it has impacted, I think, everybody's ability to get an overall evaluation on different stages and at different times. The one thing that our staff, and I know that most staffs are doing, are We've tried to recover evaluations through videos, try to find challenging games with top opponents and heavy matchups, and try to get creative and trying to find a way to get as best evaluation as we can since we've lost this tail end of the season. So it's impacted it. It's been challenging for everybody, but everybody's on a level playing field and they have to work through it and adapt.
Well, the interesting thing about that is we're pretty football heavy here, 20 years with the Rough Riders here, Mark. And what those scouts are saying is, and managers, is that they haven't had the ability to have one-on-one interviews, and then the measurables, they can't do that or medicals. How does that translate to hockey? Is that a bigger thing? How much stock do you put in a face-to-face, which I would assume you've already had for your prospects, or not?
Yes, it's very similar. The significant piece that we lost from the scouting sector was the NHL Combine, which is kind of the synopsis where the top 100 kids, if you say, will be there. And not only do you get the chance to have them broken down anatomically and physically and spend, you know, time with them in an intimate setting with your upper management. Again, we've tried to get creative and replace that with Zoom calls, several phone interviews, and try to gather as much information as we can and spend time with the kids that way. It's not ideal, and it's not quite as effective. But again, it's a way to adapt and try to get as much information as you can.
I should ask you this before I let you go. You probably get asked it almost daily, the name Ridley. Maybe not as much as when he was younger. Mike Ridley, Bob Ridley. Where did the name Ridley come from?
It actually stemmed from my wife, the movie producer Ridley Scott. For whatever reasons, the name struck a chord with her, and it gathered momentum, and off we went. So it's a bit unique. You don't hear it often, and it served him well.
Happy wife, happy life. I get it.
That's right.
From our producer, Mark, digging, producer Clark, for you, Mark, digging way back here. He says, Mark was a part of some great Hurricanes teams in the late 80s, not that long ago. The team nearly folded. What's it been like in recent years there as the community rallied around the team and they've come back to prominence? What's the Hurricanes pride like in Lethbridge?
It has been a bit of a roller coaster. He's absolutely accurate. The late 80s were a great run here of playoff success and some Memorial Cup attendings. And it dipped, and a lot of different reasons and moving parts that took place. But there's a couple of people that deserve significant credit in bringing back the stability and quality of the organization, and Peter Anholt and the staff that he's built around his coaches and his ability to recruit and draft well. All those sectors have done a tremendous job, and I'd say it's been about 5 or 6 years. Again, Peter Anholt's up this year again for executive of the year in the East. The city's rally, the attendance is high, and it's as good a time as I can recall for a sustained stretch for our team to be competitive and have players of interest and see the rink have some energy to it.
I think this is the second time that Pete has been named GM of the Year in his time in Lethbridge, I believe. So, yeah, he has had a big part of that, and it is a wonderful hockey community, right? Anything else, Mark, before we let you go?
No, I wish you guys well. Thanks for having me, and stay safe. Hopefully we can be watching sports soon.
Absolutely. Mark, let's do it again. Appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mark Gregg joining us. Some hockey stories. WHL great. Philly Flyers scout. And I know we do have to break. Maybe when we come back, I'll tell a story. And I know that I told a brief story about this, but I'll tell a little more about a night in Lethbridge. The Maxi night.
Ooh.
Where he allegedly grabbed a ref by the throat under the stands. And my dad had to protect me in the press box at the Sportsplex. Which nobody calls it anymore because it's the NMAX. What the hell is it?
Center.
NMAX Center, yeah. Great hockey town, Lethbridge.
No kidding.
Doesn't get its due.
No,
but
clearly.
As these guys pointed out, maybe it is now.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more. It's the Rod Peterson Show Facebook Live coming to Game Plus Network and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show on Tuesday, April the 21st. It's hour two. Is DuPont French?
It is.
Yeah, I thought so.
That's why your autocorrect DuPont always says capital P.
Yes.
We don't. I don't know when that changed. Got to go through the ancestry.ca to figure out when it changed from the capital P to the small P, but it's French, yeah.
Yeah. Reason I ask is a buddy of mine, army guy, sent me a meme about himself. And it said, my name's been mispronounced so many times, I'm starting to think that I have it wrong. And you were making a joke about Tom Brady saying Pedersen. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right? So I get it. So DuPont, I don't even know why I thought. Well, there's, you know why? Because Francis DuPont is the PR guy for the Alouettes, and he's as French as they come.
Okay. And there's, that was part, you know, I every time somebody sends something, not most of the time now, but new when I first am making contact with somebody and they text or they email and their phone auto corrects it to DU capital P, that happens so often. Maybe I just change it. Maybe I just make it because Apple says this is the way it's supposed to be spelled. Autocorrect says maybe I should just change it.
I'm about to disable autocorrect on my phone. It's driving me nuts. Mm. Like when I this morning was doing my Instagram story and Facebook story and I was putting Tour de Rod, me on the bike, yeah. It kept saying your. I'm like, Tour is not that crazy. Why are you correcting Tour?
And why would I? Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You don't need to correct Tour. Like Nate Ajay, I get why you'd want to autocorrect that. Not Tour.
That was in your column, right?
Yes.
You got to tweet that. Nate Ajay autocorrects to
married adjectives.
Yeah, and then tag them in it. That would be a good tweet.
Like, autocorrect, back off. From Nelson Hakowicz writes in, ducking nuts. Ducking. Because we always say ducking.
Oh, yeah.
Checking the poll results, by the way. And now it's fun time, by the way. No interview guests, just us being kooky. Checking the poll results for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who's the best player in NBA history? It's come about because of the Last Dance documentary from ESPN and Netflix, and it's not even close. And I almost wonder, like, Michael Jordan's running away with it. On Twitter, 82%. On Facebook, 84% say MJ, number 23. 8% say LeBron. 6% say Kobe. And 4% say other. Because we were saying, could it be Wilt Chamberlain? Could it be Larry Bird? Could it be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Could be a lot of guys. But the 90s, when we were coming out of the 90s, we thought, what were the 90s known for? It was nothing cool. Just blah. The 80s was neon and headbands and
rock and roll.
Yeah, like metal. 80 hair metal. 80s had a thing. 70s had bell bottoms. 60s had the Beatles. What did 90s have? 90s were junk.
Grunge.
But as time's gone on,
yeah,
there has been some cool things come out of the 90s. One being the Chicago Bulls. From the NFL perspective, the Dallas Cowboys owns the 90s. But around this town, and of course I was traveling even in the 90s all across the country, you saw Bulls stuff as much as you saw Leaf stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or as much as you saw any stuff. You saw more Bulls stuff than you saw Raptors stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In this, the Bulls owned it.
Yeah.
And also, I tweeted and then I deleted it last night. I said, hey, everybody watch The Last Dance tonight. There will be a test tomorrow on the Rod Peterson Show. And the only test was to vote on who's the greatest player of all time. But in the first of the two documentaries that dropped on Netflix last night, and it aired Sunday night on ESPN, but in the first one, they showed the Bulls coming out. And I will tell you, as a guy who's worked in sports and been around sports my entire life, the Bulls intros changed intros in sports.
Mm-hmm.
What's this? Sirius was the name of the song by the Alan Parsons Project. Changed it. Lights down. Spotlight on.
Like, and it's, I was long and drawn.
Oh, long.
Out.
And keep going.
It just builds.
Keep
builds.
Going.
Yeah.
Best there ever was, best there ever will be. The Chicago Bulls intro. Done.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of
and it's not that special. It's not fireworks. It's not smoke.
No. It's emotion.
Yeah.
It's emotion. Building it. But a lot of it is marketing, too, and television. People in sports and teams, and they're really romantic about wanting their thing to be the best, and people to just, hey, you just got to come to the games. Forget about pregame shows. No. All that stuff matters. Television matters. Marketing matters. I mean, as unfortunate as it was when Kobe passed, which seems like a long time ago now because of what we've been going through, but he was getting a massive tribute, and people were talking about him as the best in the game, or one of the best in the games, because we're remembering all of the great things, and which is awesome. We see the documentary on Jordan, and it makes us realize how darn good he was, and it makes us more sentimentally attached to him, so we want to vote for him. If we just watched the LeBron documentary, the LeBron numbers in your poll would be a lot higher, right? It's that stuff all matters. It's like when we watch Hard Knocks. Right. Every time Hard Knocks comes around, it's the Cowboys, you know, in the early 2000s and Hard Knocks. And I just watched the one on the Kansas City Chiefs where they had Casey Prenters as the third string quarterback. And Tyrone Brackenridge made that team.
T-Brack. That's a good one. With a big fro.
2007. It was awesome. I never watched it. So I went back and watched it. It made me a Chiefs fan. Right. The Cleveland Browns were on it. It made you a Browns fan. It makes you want to pull for them because you hear the stories and that stuff matters.
I'll say this before I break. I've offended a group of people. That's not new. It's a day that ends in Y. But a guy by the name of Bryn Hadubiak, do you know him?
I've heard of him.
He's on our crew. He writes in and says, pretty sure over half of your production crew today came out of the 90s. And what did I say? Nothing good came out of the 90s? Put it together, Bryn. Clark is from the 90s. Bryn clearly is from the 90s. Is Jordan not from the 90s? He's in his 20s. So what's your point? Triggered! I said, yeah, I said nothing good. But then I said, initially we thought nothing good came out of the 90s, but then it ended up a lot of great things came out of the 90s. But the thing is, his mind went snap show the second I said that.
These guys
didn't listen to the end.
They've grown into it. They've grown into themselves.
Look at Ty's all over it. Triggered. From our intern, Alan Lee. New GIF alert. We got a great crew here. We got a great crew. Listen, we got a break. Overtime next. Hang on. The fun and frivolity continues right after this, and we'll talk about the rock star of the day. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait. Do it right now.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge. And we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause. Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Triggered. That was a fun break. Fun commercial break. I have tweeted it. It's live now on our Twitter feed at Rod Peterson Show. Who's the rock star of the day? From Tuesday's RP show for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. And a big howdy to Darnell, who was in here earlier. And of course, Roxanne, his wife, who's watching. Roxanne and Darnell. Rockstar. Took me a while. So far, leading the vote, Nick Lewis.
Okay.
The options, Nick Lewis, Shay Emery, Sean Bell, or Mark Gregg. I've had a lot of fun today here in overtime for Emerald Water. I mentioned getting up today and watching Get Up, but I had to turn it off because it was all about the NFL draft. Look, nobody cares up here, so why am I paying so much attention? Figured if everybody up here wants to know, I'll try and figure out what I need to know. People don't care in Canada. I only really know one player, Joe Burrow, who's going to go number one overall. I'm trying to watch for the pomp and circumstance of what it's going to be, but it's not going to be pomp and circumstance because everybody's going to be in front of their laptop, every NFL GM. Roger Goodell's going to be in sweatpants. Which, by the way, you saw my prop bets. Not my prop bets. From sportsbettingdime.com. They've got these bets out. If you really need to gamble, you can gamble on this. Actually, it's Bovado is the betting company. Will Roger Goodell at any point be wearing sweatpants or pajama pants? What's your bet?
No.
Okay. You can bet on that.
Yeah.
What's the over-under on technical glitches? It's 4.5. You take on the...
Oh,
Clark, you can chime in on this.
I like that. I'm a fan of setting the odds, and I'm usually pretty good at setting those. 4.5 is pretty good. I was going to say 6. So I'll take the over.
I'm going to go under.
Clark's going with the under. Did you hear what happened yesterday?
Oh,
so they did a test. They did a test run, and it was a disaster. So I would have set the over under at 20.
Cincinnati.
They didn't get through the first pick.
And had trouble with technical difficulty. And one GM or coach was on the thing, and he's like, "I only have two little half arches things on my what?" Realize that's your bars for internet, but he's like, it's only two half circles, whatever that means. So
it was bad.
It was bad.
That's the one tough thing about this show, because it looks so good. They don't understand, the viewers, that were out of the gate. We had a lot of technical glitches. So is ESPN. So is the NFL. So is Howard Stern. Right. Yeah. But they just expect it right out of the gate to be perfect. And it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Especially not now. Mark Atherton watching in New Brunswick says, I'm only interested in the NFL draft to see where Tua lands, because I still can't say the last name of the Alabama left-handed throwing quarterback.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, but he goes by Tua.
But he goes by Tua. Just say Tua. Right. It's like LeBron. You don't need a last name.
I'm just saying Tua.
Yeah.
But that's what I said earlier with when Nick Lewis was on, that I will only watch the first round at the most, maybe top 10. It's going to take all night. And I like the pomp and circumstance of the Radio City Music Hall, but yeah, that it's not that. Kevin Gallant writing in and says, has Bedard been announced today? That's tomorrow, right?
They might announce it early.
Oh, they might announce it early?
They can sign him.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Clark, for Kevin's question. Connor Bedard has not been drafted number one overall yet by the Regina Pats. The draft is tomorrow morning. What Clark's telling me is they might announce it early because everybody knows they're going to take Connor Bedard. We're going to have Pat's guests on tomorrow, by the way. Can you put up tomorrow's guests, or did you?
Not yet.
Thank you. Tagovailoa. How to say the last name. I'm going to have to learn how to say it because he's going to be an NFL quarterback. But that's what we'll be watching for. Tua Tagovailoa. Thank you, Brady. Seahawks aren't getting him, by the way. From Jason, one of our viewers, rock star of the day is you, Rod, for talking about Dupe's peaches. Come on, boy. You got hair in your peaches or what? One of the best movies ever. If you're not first, you're last. What's that mean? It's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
It's just a thing we said.
Yeah. At any point will we ever talk about the CFL draft, and is it even worthwhile investigating, glitzing it up? Or is it just going to be the thing that has to happen, the elephant in the room?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the latter. I think it's worth investigating what can change or how the whole draft process changes. But yeah, we have to glitz it up because it's the Canadians coming into the game, and the Canadians play a vital role. I mean,
no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, should they do an NFL style Radio City Music Hall CFL draft? Because there was talk of it.
Yeah, but people won't care enough about it until it's the impact players. If you could find a way to explore how we can draft players coming up from the States, Americans, there'd be a little bit more intrigue into it. It's always worth exploring it. I'm in. Explore the Canadian side of the draft for sure, but it will never reach that level until you're talking about guys who are going to be up for MOPs on a consistent basis and guys who are going to change your franchise.
Fair. I'm just looking up NFL quarterbacks here. Jalen Hurts. Tua. Tua came on my radar. It was a national championship, right? Jalen Hurts got hurt. Tua came in and won the national championship against Clemson, right?
Yep.
And that was the end of Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
So Tua's been around a while.
Oh, yeah. But is his hip? That's the big question mark. Is his hip okay?
Before we do go off the air, Alvin Lee, our intern, who's had a lot to say for himself today, says TSN needs to show it more. Didn't they only show the first round before? Is this the opportunity for CFL? Is this the open door for the CFL and TSN to burst onto the scene for a big... Well, they can't because they have to be remote. They have to They have to observe social distancing.
Yeah.
So this is not the time. Actually, you saw the list of the final prospects came out? from the CFL?
Yep, I did. I saw that.
That was yesterday.
And our boy is not
is near not the top. Number one.
But it goes back to not say like the Claypools and stuff probably won't get drafted. And
not
Craig Smith
high.
Corrected it, and he said he doesn't think that he thinks that Claypool will go in the second round of the NFL draft. He wanted to correct himself, not the second round of the CFL draft. He doesn't think that Claypool will get drafted, period, in the CFL, because they're talking about him being an impact player in the NFL. He's not coming.
The CFL yesterday afternoon announced their final draft rankings, and number one is defensive tackle Neville Gallimore from the Oklahoma Sooners. He's an Ottawa kid, a defensive tackle, projected to go number one. There were a few draft analysts that had Jordan Williams ranked to go number one, the linebacker from East Carolina, who was on this show, and that guy has personality. And he may still go number one. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of some teams that do covet Jordan Williams very high. There is a little drama here, but here's the interesting thing. Of the top players, you talk about televising U Sports? This is where they play. Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Buffalo, Virginia, Brown, Ohio, East Carolina. They're not even playing in Canada.
There's two Canadian schools, I think, in that list, right? Montreal and
Edmonton. Alberta.
That's it.
Western, Waterloo.
Okay. Right.
You got to go down the list.
Yeah.
Pretty far. But that's interesting. So I don't know. Those games are on television. So maybe it's, hey, let's market these Canadians playing in these U.S. colleges. Whatever. It's not my job to market the CFL. Is that it? Are we done?
I'm good.
Okay. What's up, Paul?
Things are good, Rod.
Nice gloves.
Thanks, Fish.
Safety never takes a holiday. Okay. Vote on our poll. Rock star of the day. Again, Shay Emery, Nick Lewis, Sean Bell, Mark Gregg, or as I called him, the Bell of the Ball. Yesterday, Mike Abu-Meshrick won. Coming up tomorrow, James Myrtle from The Athletic. That'll be good. Regina Pats president Todd Lombard from Three Down Nation John Hodge. And Clark and I are on the same brainwave here because I was hoping to get Tory Gurley on in advance of the NFL draft, and our NFL insider will be with us tomorrow. Thank you.
Awesome.
Good work. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.